So even though you may have an anointing to for certain things, it's still important that you exercise faith in that. In the first incident after Jesus anointed Kenneth Hagin on a palm with a special anointing, and he says when he puts it on the hand or on the body of a person, the fire will flow from hand to hand. When he did that on the first lady that came, he felt the fire going from hand to hand. So he knew it was a demon, and so he took authority of a demon. And then in the chapter title, in I believe in visions, title Eve, he told this lady, "See if you can ban." The lady tried, couldn't. And then he did it again, took authority, and then says, "See if you can ban." Lady tried, couldn't again. Third time, did it again, "See if you can ban." Lady tried, couldn't. And then at that very time, Jesus appeared. The congregation couldn't see Jesus, but Jesus appeared to Hagin. And Hagin says, that's the first time that he saw Jesus angry. Says there's fire in his eyes when he's angry. And so Jesus came and pointed his finger at Kenneth Hagin. Nobody else in congregation saw, but they heard him talking to Jesus. And he said, "I said, if you command, they will go." And then Hagin was arguing with Jesus. Saying, "I did, Lord, but they didn't go." And then Jesus came nearer to him. Said, "I said, if you command, they will go." And Hagin now a bit helpless. Say, "I did, but they did not go." And then Jesus put his finger with the fire from his eyes coming out. Put his finger in between his eyes. Say, "I said, if you command, they will go." And then he disappeared. Shoo. Because Hagin was in shock, wondering what has happened. And then suddenly he realized that he was doubting. Just a little bit of doubt. So he did that. He called the woman. By that time was walking halfway back. She was still, she had a back problem that was caused by a demon, and she was struggling to go back. Now she was walking halfway when she heard that conversation of Hagin with Jesus. So Hagin called her back, put his hands on her again, the fire jump. He commanded the demon, and this time he says, "Ban!" And she was healed. And he learned, if we put the word "if," that's all the difference it takes. And when she banned, she was healed. So even though you may receive an anointing through dunamis, it still takes faith. My friends, it takes just a little bit of doubt to eat up your entire miracle. Doesn't take much. Just as it takes a little bit of faith, like a mustard seed, to move an entire mountain. What we're talking about? We're talking about the butterfly effect. Small little thing that makes a difference between success and failure. Just a small little bit. And that was all it took. All he had to do was say, "See if you can ban." And that makes a difference between a miracle and no miracle. Because doubt and unbelief is the prime blockage to the gifts of the Spirit working or to exousia authority working. And believe me, our society is like what Jesus says. It's a faithless and perverse society and generation. There is completely no faith at all. We are trained in schools and in universities to question. So when it comes to God's word, we question. And we do not want to believe and then see the miracle. We keep doubting the word, and as a result, a lot of the modern miracles in the world today The miracles are taking place not in civilized societies in the cities, out in the jungles, where the people are so simple, God says it, they believe it, and it settles that for them. And never had a doubt that it would not happen. We are a generation that have lived so long with doubts and put up with doubts that we think it's a cultural sophistication thing to have them. When it's a poison on our system without realizing it. But Jesus says, because of your unbelief, says, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. We need to come to God in repentance and humility, in fasting and prayer, in order to eliminate all the doubts of our life. That we have more doubts than we realize. Sometimes our conscious mind says we have faith, but deep inside our subconscious, there's still a lot of unbelief. Like the father of that young little boy who was demon-possessed. So all it takes is a little amount. How much faith? A mustard seed. How much unbelief? Same amount. A mustard seed unbelief is all it takes to block you. Just a little bit between the two could be the answer, could be the difference between a miracle or a lack of miracle. So in conclusion, in this area of demonology, as you exercise authority over demon realm, and as you exercise our faith in this area, we like to lay down these points on exercising faith, whether it's the exousia or the dunamis. When you choose to exercise faith, you must leave the physical world and enter the spiritual world. Faith is a spiritual force, not a physical force. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is. It never says faith shall be, faith will be, but faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So in conclusion, number one, when you walk in the spirit of faith, you move from the physical world into the spiritual world. The physical world is governed by time, by past, present, and future. The spiritual world has no time. Time does not exist in the spirit world. When we go back to heaven, there is no time like we know it today. From God's point of view, it is already done. Now, you remember the story of Daniel when he fasted 21 days. The angel appeared to him and said, from the first day that you fasted, the command went out. So what happens when you exercise faith? You must move from the physical into the spiritual and remain there. Whenever your mind questions you, why isn't it happening? You are still in the physical realm. Because only the physical realm think in terms of past, present, future. Only the physical realm thinks in terms of has happened, has not happened. But the spiritual realm exists only in God. So if you move out from the physical into the spiritual and the moment you exercise faith, you lock yourself into God. And as far as you are concerned, Mark 11, verse 23-24, you believe, you have received. It is a past tense, even though you shall receive, is still in the future tense. But you choose not to live in that dimension and be limited. You choose to keep remaining in the physical world. So when you exercise faith, when you cast out demons, remember that even in the dunamis, the gift of faith is operating. The most important thing when you deal with demons is to be able to deal with them from the spirit world. Part of their deception is to deceive you in the physical that it's not happened yet. But actually, when you take authority in the spiritual, some things have taken place. And if you could remain in the spiritual realm, which does not have a time limit, does not have time in existence, all you know is it is done. You are set free from the enemy's attack in the time dimension. In the time dimension. So Satan attacks you in the time dimension. When you say, look, it hasn't happened yet. Look, it hasn't happened yet. Look, it hasn't happened yet. It tries to get you back into the physical. But you choose to remain in the spiritual because in God, time does not exist. In God and in the spiritual world, it is done. And you just lock yourself in. Secondly, faith is a spiritual sensation on your inside. Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Look at the word, evidence of things not seen. In other words, faith, first we say faith is. It is always present tense. Faith is. Because that's the only time dimension, if there's such a thing, that God exists in. Everything to God is. Evidence of things not seen. Another way that they have put it, the devil defeat you by your senses and by your tenses. By what you see, feel and touch, or by whether you're still in hope or you're still in faith. Faith regards that it is done. And it doesn't get bothered by the physical tenses, senses and tenses. As far as faith is concerned, you believe, you have received. So many times Jesus keeps telling his disciples, if you say to this mountain, it shall be done for you. And you have to lock your faith in. So in the faith dimension, when you come against a demon, you don't care what the manifestations are. If your eyes are focused on the manifestation, you will not get the results you want. And that is why a lot of deliverance ministry, they only look for the manifestation. And sometimes they cause manifestations in people who are not even demon possessed. But they begin to act out certain things physically, because they become in a trance-like state of subliminal state of consciousness, where the person begins to vomit, person things are going to happen to them, and they say those are demons living. Those are not. There is a physical world trying from the physical world to act in the spiritual. So the second point is for the faith to be remaining outside of the sense and the tense dimension. You're not moved by what you see, by what you feel, by what is around you. And many times when you deal that way with demons, they submit and they obey. But you have to wait for physical manifestation. They will not. Because they come up with something new all the time. Again, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance here is in a participle, which means it should be translated, faith is a substantiating of things hoped for. There is a difference between hope and faith. Faith comes from hope. Hope comes from your looking to God. As long as there is God, there is hope. So if faith is the substantiating of things hoped for,